Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. And as you know, this is our Street Smart Spirituality Hour. I want to thank every single one of you for all of your support, supporting the show right here on BBS and supporting the show on KKNW and some of the other stations. I am very thrilled to announce that in addition to being, as you have named us, the favorite show out of Seattle, we are also the most listened to show on VoiceAmerica.com, and we owe this all to you. So this is an amazing time. I think that you have heard the folks here at BBS Radio talk about the energy of this year and how expansive this year is and how important it is for every single one of us to take some kind of action to contribute to the greater good of all. And today's show is a show that, in my opinion, is going to contribute to everyone out there listening having a new understanding of what autism is and what it isn't. Now, we're doing the show, or I'm doing the show, for several reasons. One of the reasons that you'll find as you listen to today's show is that we need your help. We need your help. We need your help in taking information that is contrary to what you hear about autism and sharing it and passing it around and letting people know about my guest today, the work that she's doing, the website she has, her passion, and her story. I'm talking about my very special guest today, Donna Richards. And I'm going to introduce you to Donna, but what I want to say is that what we'll talk about today is not even going to come close to her personal journey, what she's done as an author, a motivational speaker, an autism expert, a spokesperson, and the CEO of Richards Advantage Housing. Beyond that, she is also the founder of My Brother's Keeper and the website mybrotherskeeper.biz. So today you may hear some things that are very different than what you understand about autism. And for those of you that listened to my show earlier today, you also heard some other information about what is true and what is not. And so Donna is going to come to us today to share what she has learned. And we're going to be talking about this amazing book that was written, and I'm going to tell you written by who, by Jace Richards. And you're going to find out what you can do to help yourself and help others who are faced with our young ones being categorized, classified, or whatever you want to call it, with autism. Donna Richards, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dr. Pat. It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm so thrilled to be speaking with you again, but I'm concerned because every time you and I talk, the rate of autism being diagnosed in children gets worse. So the first time you and I talked, the information indicated that there are about one out of every 167 or so children diagnosed with autism. The last time we talked, that rate had changed, and maybe you can share a little bit about this.
Right now, the statistics say that it's one in every 150. So that's a pretty staggering number.
Well, it's a very staggering number because, I think you shared with me, if we had this number in some other aspects of our lives, we'd certainly be paying more attention, wouldn't we?
Oh, absolutely. If one out of every 150 people that ate at a fast food restaurant got sick, that restaurant would be closed.
Why is it we're not paying attention to this, Donna?
I think because you hear the word autism and you have a very vague idea, and you always have the idea of, well, that affects somebody else. It doesn't affect me. It doesn't affect my children. Well, let me tell you, even if you don't have an autistic child, the other 149, if they attend public school, they're affected. They really are. No Child Left Behind calls an inclusion law, which means that most of your autistic children are in regular classrooms. And a lot of times the children don't know how to react to them. A lot of times the teachers don't have the training to react to them either. So don't think just because autism isn't in your immediate family that you or your children aren't affected. And I guarantee you, I do this all the time in my seminars, if you ask five people, any five people, do you know someone with autism, usually three out of the five know somebody.
I think that since you and I have been on the show and we've been talking about this, I have been blown away by how many people I now know when I ask this question, either have a child that is affected by autism or knows someone or has a cousin or have, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And yet, I have to tell you, Donna, until recently, we weren't really talking about this. I think the first real glimpse that we got about autism was, you know, through Hollywood, so to speak. Don't you think?
I do think, and I do think that that has sort of skewered the view, too, because when you say autism, the picture people get in their head is either somebody extremely brilliant, like the Rain Man, with just some odd habits, or you get a picture of a child sitting there banging his head against a wall. And nothing could be further from the truth. Granted, there are cases of savant autism, like the Rain Man, and granted, there are children that do have severe autism, that do have some social problems, but, you know, your typical, if there is a typical, autistic child is nowhere close to either end of that spectrum.
Donna, let's give folks some history, because I started this show asking our listeners for help. And since I've had you on, you have truly touched my heart at a very deep place. And I am committed to making sure that people know about your story, know about the information that we're getting ready to share today, but also know how they can support and help. What is the most important thing that we need to have today?
I think the most important thing would be that there are hope for these children.
Mm.
There is a huge light that shines at the end of this tunnel, and it comes right through these children's eyes. But it's a problem that needs to be addressed now, because if we don't start to do something now, 20 years from now, we're going to have autistic adult communities with nowhere for them to go. And
It's huge. I mean, I don't think we get the statistic we're talking about. 1 out of 150. I mean, you're looking at a row of, you know, we're looking at a couple of rows of homes in a small community and not really understanding this. What, let's talk a little bit about your family, because you are the mother of five.
Right.
Right. You know, you're the mother of five, and I understand that, you know, you're amazing. You know, you can leap, as they say, very tall baskets of laundry at a single bound.
Yes, five sons. We do have a son of laundry.
Five boys. And let's talk a little bit about the family and how this has been for them.
Okay. Well, our youngest son, Justin, has the most extreme case of autism in our family.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Jace, who is next to him, Jace is on the pervasive developmental disorder spectrum, which is the same spectrum as autism, but he's not as severe as Justin. And when Justin was first diagnosed, they told us, you have no hope for this child. He's mentally retarded. His IQ is very low. He's never going to have speech. You should just take him home and put him in an institution. And, you know, that's devastating. Here you are in your pediatrician's office, and you take this man's word above anybody when it comes to your child, and he's basically just giving you no hope. And it was the first time we had really heard the word autistic, and nobody could explain it to us. And so we started doing the research, and we started looking, and, you know, autism is classified as a neurological disorder. The symbol for autism is the puzzle piece, because if you've seen one autistic child, well, you've seen one autistic child, they're all very, very different. Now, they do have some tendencies that are the same. But with Justin, we taught him sign language. And when he was about 4 years old, the teacher asked me, she said, "Do you listen to classical music?" And I said, "No." She said, "Well, I want you to come to school tomorrow about 10 minutes before it's time for you to pick up Justin. And he hums a song every day right when it's time for you to pick him up." So I went in, and he started humming the song, and I recognized it immediately. It was actually a theme song from a Tony Robbins motivational CD that I listened to every day with Justin in the car. And a couple of months after that, he started to speak. So we have been truly, truly blessed. We have tried every therapy, everything that you could think of, and a lot of the treatments that helped Justin were the holistic treatments. The medical world, the Defeat Autism Now doctors, which are known as DAN doctors, work very well. But with Justin, his best help came from the chiropractors, the massage therapists, the aromatherapists, the naturopathic doctors. And today he's 7 years old and happy, high-functioning, very verbal, regular school half a day, special ed half a day, and, you know, the only institutions we're considering for him are the University of Georgia.
And I'm there with you. Now, you said Tony Robbins, that you are playing a motivational CD of Tony's in the car, and so that's the connection. And also, Tony has been a supporter of what you're doing, My Brother's Keeper.
Oh, absolutely. When we first came out with the book, which is My Brother's Keeper, A Kindergartner's View of Autism, Jace wrote the book. We helped him. But our first creation was a little construction paper, three-hole punch, pictures taped in, just a brother's bird's-eye view of this is my brother with autism, and I love him, and this is why you should love him. And so Tony really did get behind us and say, hey, this needs to be a published hardcover book. We need to make this happen. So he has been a great supporter. He really has.
He has been a phenomenal supporter, and we want to help you as well get this word out there. And when I asked early on for our listeners, this information is going to be so helpful. We're going to talk about autism, and for those of you that know people that may have children that are autistic, please pass this information on, or better yet, you'll be able to download this show from the Dr. Pat Show website, and that's www.thedrpatshow.com. And so what we want to ask all of you as you listen to today's show is if you have questions, if you are listening and you have questions, that you give us a call right here at 877-876-5227, because we're going to answer them for you, 877-876-5227, or send me an email to live, L-I-V-E, at thedrpatshow.com, thedrpatshow.com, and we will get these questions on the air. Donna, let's talk a little bit about what you have discovered along the way, especially in terms of, alternative approaches, because that's a very, very brave thing to do. And we're not talking like yesterday. We're talking 5-6 years ago, to really look at an alternative when everything in the medical profession is telling you, okay, Donna, you're just going to have to, you know, take your child and put him away.
Well, and I met a lot of opposition within my own immediate family. You know, I come from a medical family. I have cousins that are doctors. I have two sisters that are nurses. And I did meet with a lot of not so friendly response at first when I said, listen, I understand that a lot of the medical doctors do really wonderful things, but it's just not working for Justin. And our first stop was at the chiropractor, because everything that happens in your body starts at your spine. That that just takes precedence over everything. And our chiropractor was really amazing, and he started working with Justin, and a big, big issue with Justin and a lot of other autistic children is they do not sleep. They are like the Energizer Bunny. And, you know, you can't leave a 3 or 4 year old up at night by themselves, so that means their mom and dad are the walking zombies. And, you know, after a couple of weeks of that, I mean, you were just miserable. And we started taking Justin to the chiropractor, and it really started to calm him down. About the same time, we started working with an aromatherapist. And about 9 o'clock every night, we start infusing into his room through just a little plug-in that goes in his room, chamomile and lavender. And it really calms him down. That, with his chiropractic adjustments, have made it to where he goes to bed about 11 o'clock, which, granted, that's not a good bedtime for a 7-year-old, but it's a heck of a lot better than we used to get. And he sleeps the whole night through till about 5:30. So that in itself is a blessing.
That is a blessing because, you know, there are alternatives that folks recommend. And I had a friend of mine that told me, and I wanted to ask you because she wanted me to ask you about this. I have a friend of mine that shared with me that she didn't know what she knows today, let's put it like this, and wanted to thank you very much for what you're doing. And for her, she had found that a lot of the solutions that were coming out of the gate were drugs, medications, either medications to calm them down, numbing medications. And I said, you know, I hadn't talked to Donna about that. I didn't really understand that. Is that part of, quote, let's call it treatment? I mean, if you put an autistic child in, quote, an institution, I mean, what do they do? Do they sedate them?
Yeah. Yeah, and even non-institutionalized, a lot of the children in Justin's class, and we do not judge anybody because everybody does what they think is best at
the
time.
That's right.
But a lot of the children in Justin's class are heavily medicated. Some of them take large doses of Ritalin and Adderall, and they take something to get up and something to go to bed, and I often wonder, you know, really, who are these little children, and where are the real personalities of these children, because they are so subdued behind all the medication. And like I say, not that medication is horrible. I come from a medical family, and sometimes there are no other alternatives. But I believe that you should try every other alternative first.
And those alternatives are generally speaking, this is what I wanted to ask you about, the alternatives for helping children with autism are really not of a heavy medical kind. They're usually, they're not invasive, you know what I'm saying,
right.
And they really look at the individual as a whole system, a whole person.
Yes, and I think a lot of times, even as adults, we get in this big rush, hurry, we don't eat right, we don't sleep right, we don't take the proper supplements, and, you know, we don't see ourselves as a whole, that what you eat affects your body, and what you think affects your body. We don't see that, and I have learned from working with Justin, you know, I can tell you on different days how congested he's going to be because of what he ate the night before or, you know, what kind of mood he's going to be in.
And so do you monitor this for him?
We
do. The best you can, right.
We do. Not as much now because we figured out his triggers. We figured out, you know, if he has cheese pizza, I really need to limit it to one piece because it really contributes to his congestion. Just little things that we have learned. Now, a lot of your autistic children are on wheat-free, gluten-free, and somebody needs to give their mothers an award because that is a very tough thing to do in today's society, but a lot of the mothers do it, and it makes a lot of difference in a lot of children.
and this is a conversation we're going to talk more about, because we're learning a lot about wheat. We're learning a lot about gluten. We haven't heard much about gluten in our society, and now we can really look at all of what's been happening for, you know, with the pet food crisis, how protein and gluten has now become a conversation to really stand up and pay attention to, especially in the food that we eat. You know, Donna, one of the things that I was really struck by in speaking with you is when we look at autism, and we know now that it is on the rise. I mean, we're clear about that. The numbers change every day, and it is on the rise. But there are some other disorders, some other diseases. There's some confusion about what is autism and some of these other things like Asperger's and some of these other diagnoses. Why is there so much confusion?
I think it's because it's very hard to draw a fine line. You know, it's pretty easy to say if somebody has cancer, okay, you have cancer and it's in this part of your body. This is what we can do to remove it. But with autism, I think that the spectrum just floats to so many extremes that a lot of children start out as autism and then graduate up to a better diagnosis of Asperger's. And your Asperger's children are really, most of them I have met are genius. They are incredible. And I saw a T-shirt yesterday. It was very funny. It had a sign on it that looked almost like a Star Trek sign, and it said, "Aspies of the World, unite." The Asperger's children are very dedicated, very focused. Most of them have their own groups. So they are definitely a different group from the autism world, but a lot of your autism world's hopes are maybe one day my child will be diagnosed as Asperger's instead of autism, because Asperger's is a lot less severe.
So we're learning an awful lot about autism, and as we talked about earlier, we certainly Rainmaker came out and everybody, you know, had a new level of awareness, but I got to tell you, once that movie moved on, that was pretty much the end of the conversation.
Yeah, it really was. And autism, I don't think, started becoming really recognized until a lot of your celebrities' children started being diagnosed. Dan Marino's son. Dan has one of the largest autism facilities now in Miami. Sylvester Stallone's son. You know, there are a lot of very big-name celebrities, ball players that have autistic children, and I think that through their influence, autism started becoming more to the forefront.
Well, Donna, I want to make sure that we continue to give out your website throughout this conversation today, because the important thing for all of us that want to help and contribute to spreading the word about autism, what it is and what it's not. The website that Donna has set up, the organization that she has set up, is an incredible source. And we're going to talk about the book next. So if you go to www.mybrotherskeeper.biz, www.mybrotherskeeper.biz, you will see information here about how you can contribute. As a matter of fact, I am purchasing a bracelet for every single one of the Dr. Team, Dr. Pat Team members. Donna, we have a call. Let's go to the phones. Who's joining us tonight? Welcome to the show.
My name is Michael.
Hi, Michael.
And I have Asperger's syndrome. And it wasn't diagnosed because I was born in 1953, and nobody ever heard of it, autism or barely, in 1953.
No, you're right.
And so it was always misdiagnosed. But on the other hand, there are ways of diagnosing it, like if you have two mind lines in your palm, you have autism. If you can't move your eyes easily from left to right, which is like what you do in rapid eye movement sleep, you have autism. If you... tend to see things from other dimensions or something when you're young. That's another symptom of it. If you love to solve puzzles, you're very likely to have autism. And I solved a Rubik's Cube like 1,000 times without ever learning how to do it exactly. I'd get down to the last 8 steps and I'd have to struggle with it a long time. But again, that's just a fascination with puzzles.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem said I had passive autism because the mind lines went down as opposed to active autism where they go up, and those are the ones that really act up. Now, I've also an energy healer, and I'm very familiar with the body, and it is definitely true that the spinal structure is very distorted, and there's a lot of tension in the tendons, and that's the reason they can't move their eyes from one side to the other, because of the fact that all the tendons are tied together. And there's a lot of research that indicates that autism is associated with all the vaccines the inoculations they're doing. And
yes, as a matter of fact, I did a show on that about a couple of weeks ago on one of my other stations. And had you heard of Donna Richards before in her work? And Donna, let me introduce you. This is amazing that we're having this conversation, that we can connect people from all over the world. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Melbourne Village, Florida.
Great.
Okay.
Great.
But anyway, I figured out, when being very versatile and very interested, I'm a Gemini also, but being very versatile and interested in puzzles, and also don't meet anybody's eyes when I'm talking, I don't remember faces. There's
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of characteristic. Notice it's called a syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
What a syndrome means is that it's not really a disease. It's a package of bundled characteristics, of which if you have like 30% of them, that's the syndrome. And that's why it's so varied.
Yes. Well, that's what we're doing here today. We are educating people. We're making things clear. And thank you so much for coming in.
I have one more question, though.
And I'm sorry?
There's one other unique thing about me, and I'm wondering whether this might be connected. It might be an area to check, and it's a very easy area to check. And that is that for most of my life, my body has, my temperature has run at 92 or 93 degrees.
Mm.
And that causes a lot of the same symptoms. And it's called Wilson's temperature syndrome. And there are some cures for Wilson's temperature syndrome. And it basically means the T3 antigen is not being, the T4 antigen, which is produced by the thyroid, is not being converted by the thyroid system into T3, which is what actually regulates body temperatures. But on the other hand, your body gets all tied up in knots. You get very depressed. You get very irritable. There's all sorts of symptoms that are very similar to autism.
Yes.
So nobody's ever heard of Wilson's temperature syndrome either, and so that might be an area to check into.
That is so great. Donna, had you heard about that, Donna?
No, I had not, although Justin's temperature range is very high.
Temperature syndrome.
No, his is high.
His is high.
Yes,
and by
very
the way,
high.
It is also noted by the medical community that the average body temperature of people in the world continuously goes down, which matches the rate of increase in autism.
Wow.
And thank you
sort of
so
like
much.
Starvation mentality. People of Irish, any population that tended to starve a lot, is likely to go into the starvation mode. And I don't know, because I haven't done any studies on it, because there's no statistics on it. But if autistic people show that they have below average body temperatures, the two things may be very connected. And that Dr. Wilson has actually come up with some therapies, which I'm trying to increase the body temperature. I'm using herbal therapies. And my body temperature now is approaching 98.6 quite a bit, as opposed to the 92 that it's been for years.
You have a wealth of knowledge. You are, I mean, this is incredible that we're having this conversation, and all of this is really important information for everyone listening to this show. I am so thrilled that you're able to take action to get some to get some help and to find some solutions for yourself. And as with Donna, you've gone outside of the traditional medical field and are having success. So, you know, my hat goes off to you.
Okay, thank you. And I figure if you've got Asperger's syndrome and symptoms of genius and a lot of research, you might as well research what's wrong with yourself, and maybe it'll help the world.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you have a good night.
Thank you. Good night. You know, Donna, there's so much to talk about. We've got some great listeners. I mean, that was just a ton of information right there. And there's so much to learn. I mean, are you learning every minute of every day? I mean, there's got to be something new that you are learning and then sharing with people. Because what you've done is you've taken this information, created mybrotherskeeper.biz, created the book, and many, many people can come here as a resource to find out what is this research? What has this journey been like for you? How has it been to get the information that you need? I know you're highly intuitive, or you wouldn't have made the decisions you've made.
It was very hard in the beginning simply because everybody that you asked about autism had a different opinion. Even if you went from one medical doctor to the next medical doctor, they were all very different. So it was a pretty long road and a pretty long journey, and we just happened to be probably about halfway through that journey now, and we do learn every day. I talk to parents, I talk to moms, people that just share different things with me. One of the ladies suggested that we put earmuffs on Justin during regular classroom so that he was not as distracted. He goes to lunch with the regular classrooms, and the lunchroom can be a nightmare for an autistic child. And so we got him earmuffs, and he wears them into the lunchroom, and it has just made a world of difference, just having that bit of muffled so that he doesn't have to hear all the sounds. And so, yes, we do learn things every day.
And, you know, you're sharing, I mean, that bit of information right there is going to really save a child from having unusual stimulation, something that they don't really need to go through. And yet at the same time, it's how do we connect everyone, Donna? How do we get everyone so that they have this kind of information? I know we're doing this by radio, but what can our listeners do to help?
Well, our goal is to have a copy of My Brother's Keeper in every school in America, because this book really explains autism in very simple language. It also has our website, and our website is full of resources. We have articles you can download. We have different speakers that we have downloads of every month. We have a quarterly newsletter. And I put things on our website all the time that other parents send in that they may know something that we don't know. So if you have someone in your family that is autistic, if there's an autistic child in your children's classroom, if anybody related to you is a school teacher, these books make great gifts. They make great graduation presents. We just really need to get this word out, and your teachers don't have to be special ed teachers, because now with the No Child Left Behind law, autistic students are in every regular classroom in America.
And that what's important about this is this book is incredible. I have an autographed copy, by the way, I would like to just share with everyone. And we open the book, and right at the very beginning it says, "Hi. My name is John Carter Richards, Jr., but you can call me Jace. I am 6 years old." And so now we get an introduction to the author of the book and who the family is. So the book is, first of all, it's beautiful, it's colorful, and the pictures in here take us through a journey of how each and every one of us can understand what it is like to be in a family with a child that has autism, but also what it's like to be in a family where there is so much love, Donna. There is so much love in this book.
Well, thank you. Jace is definitely a special child. He is, he's just a big heart walking around. He is adorable, and he's always just tried to do the best for Justin and take up for Justin. And, you know, at one point in the game, it got to where we had to say, okay, enough, because people in our family were like, oh, poor Justin, he's autistic. And we were like, no, poor Justin is a brat. Y'all are spoiling him. You know, nobody wanted to make Justin perform. So Justin got used to pointing his finger and getting what he wanted. And with any child, that's not a good thing, but especially with an autistic child, because whatever they get used to, you're going to have a hard, hard time getting them to break and vary that routine.
And so that is information that, you know, most parents don't even have that level of information, don't know really how to take action. I love through the book, and you know, when Jace talks about this, you know, he comes right out and he says when Jace and Justin go out together, people think that they are twins. And it's really clear if you look at the pictures. I mean, they look very close in appearance. And as you go through this book, you can see how connected these two children are.
Yeah, siblings play a big, big part in the autism world. And also, so do classmates. You know, I was really worried about Justin being in an inclusion classroom until we started going places, and all of a sudden these kids would come up and start talking to him. And I would, you know, I would say, Justin, do you know him? And he would shake his head yes and just smile. And once the children are introduced properly to what autism is and what autism's not, and that it's not contagious and you can't catch it, and, you know, yes, this child may want to hug you more than once in the classroom, but that's okay. That's who he is. It really made a big difference.
How have the other children responded to this? What has this been like, Donna, for you in having Justin in school? And how has this changed? Because, you know, he's been in school, and now he's gone through a number of different years here. So there must be an incredible learning journey and connection here.
There is, and actually he just got referred to an autism-specific classroom, and a lot of schools don't have this yet, but it's coming. And what that means is that he will be in a class with other autistic children that are close to his functioning level, and he's actually learning to read and write. So he has definitely come a long, long way, and it has been a big learning curve, and there have been things that we've messed up at and just lived and learned, and he is just one of the things, you know, I wanted to walk him into school every morning, because that's what you do with elementary school students. They're little kids, and you walk them in. And his teacher, about the first 3 days, was okay with that. And then after that, she noticed that if he started to pitch a fit, I would pick him up and carry him in. And she was like, you've got to stop. You have got to put him out at the curb. And I was like, what? He's 4 years old. He's my baby. I can't put him out at the curb. She was like, oh, yes, you can, because if you don't, when he's 15 years old, you're going to be carrying him in school every day. You know, you've got to set some guidelines for him. And so sure enough, we started putting him out at the curb, and he didn't like it very much. But now, you know, he's perfectly adjusted. He's who carries the attendance basket to the principal's office every day and finds his way back to class all by himself. So sometimes I think you have to let him go a little. You have to realize that this child has a disability, but that doesn't mean he's disabled.
You can let him go, but you can certainly let him go with a lot of love.
Yep, exactly.
You know, that's what we're talking about here. We're talking about a community coming together. We're talking about a family coming together. We're talking about a loving sibling sitting down and creating this beautiful, wonderful book. And for any of you listening to this show, if you are teachers or you know, have friends that are teachers, please refer them to Donna and the website, mybrotherskeeper.biz. Because we want to help Donna achieve that goal. We want to help Donna get this book in every classroom in the country. One of the questions that I wanted to ask you, because almost every person that I come in contact with about this, Donna, most of the children are boys.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, maybe I just don't know a family that has girls. I mean, is there an inconsistency here?
There is. Autism affects 4 boys to every 1 girl. And the girls that we have worked with seem to be a little more severe and not as easy to work with. Now, some of them that we've met are really wonderful, but it definitely is predominantly a boy disease instead of a girl.
Oh, that is very interesting. That's very interesting. And all of this information, again, is on the website. And so we're really helping, Donna, demystify this. It is important that people know, yeah, you can't catch it. But the thought that you can actually catch this is a little bit disturbing to me. And so have we been at this place where we know so little about this that we would think that you could catch something like autism? I mean, how long ago was that?
I don't think that the adult community has been there in a long time. But, you mm-hmm. know, with little kids, if you tell them that something's wrong with somebody, that's the first thing they think is, oh, how did they catch that? So I don't think that the adults have been that way. But the children were definitely hesitant. At first, when Justin was introduced in their classroom, sometimes he would make funny noises or he would raise his hand at inappropriate times, and he just didn't know things. But now, you know, he's been in that class and he's been working with them, and they know him and accept him. And actually, one part of his regular inclusion class came to watch him at Special Olympics, and it was just very exciting to see, you know, these kids out there cheering Justin on. And I use the word cure a lot, and a lot of the autistic community doesn't like that because they don't feel like their children need to be cured. But I really, that's what I want for Justin. You know, a lot of people want to point fingers, my child got autism from this or from that. Well, you can't unring the bell. And if you give me the choice of the cause or the cure, then I'm going to go for the cure every time. So that is our goal. Our goal is to preventative for other children is very, very important. And our goal is to help Justin and the other children that are like him adjust and to live as close to a normal life as possible.
Well, one of the paragraphs in the book, and I want to really remind everyone, the book I'm talking about is called My Brother's Keeper. And this was written by Jace. He says, my mom, who is a very happy person, made up her mind, and my dad's, that Justin would get all the help they could find. So the question is, as you have taken this out into the world, what has this been like for your husband?
John is very good with Justin. He's very supportive of all the kids. He, too, came from a family that was more with a medical background than a holistic background. So that's been a little bit different, you know, when you start putting, like at one time, Justin worked with a therapist that had weighted vest and the aromatherapy. All that's a little bit different. You know, we live in the deep South, and that's not the norm here.
believe me, I know. My stepmother was from the deep South, and so I do understand that. But people like you are really, and I've met some incredible doctors right there in your community. Dr. Eric Plasker, as a matter of fact, really taking a powerful message out there. But you certainly are a pioneer and a maverick at some level.
Yeah, we have done some different things, and there's actually an article on our website that we wrote for Club Mom, and it's called What to Do When the Chip Off the Old Block Has a Crack in It. And it's a pretty neat story. It's actually about dads and special needs children, And a lot of the time, too, within your different communities, the Hispanic community in particular, does not deal with autism very well. It's looked at as a disgrace if there's something wrong with a male child in the Hispanic communities. And so we have been working with some of that community through school to kind of work as an intervention to let them know, you know, this is not a disgrace. This is nothing that this child's mother did wrong, which, of course, in the 60s, you know, that was the typical diagnosis. Well, you had a refrigerator mom. She didn't show you love. Therefore, you're autistic. And the Hispanic community still sort of embraces that theory. So there is a lot of work that has to be done between moms and dads when it comes to autism.
How do you think, Donna, the show that Rachel Ray did, I forget when that was, but I know Rachel Ray had a show. Was it earlier this year?
Is it the one that had the band Jet Fuel Only?
Yes, the band.
That's my friend Sawyer. I actually sent him some of my brother's Keeper stuff and some rock and roll T-shirts. Those kids are going to go far. They really, really are. I think that they did a great job on the show. You know, Sawyer, they have really done a lot of work with their band, and these are kids that are like 11 and 12 years old. So I think that she did a great job.
Well, I think the more of us that can pass the word on this, I think the more all of us will be about it. And helping schools get in line. Do you think, Donna, that through your work and through the people down in the school that Justin goes to, do you think that your school is more aligned in terms of the norm, or do you think it's in part a little bit, shall I say, more aware than most schools? What would you say?
I think our school is probably more aware simply because the staff there is very, very dedicated. Also, we are fortunate enough, Justin goes to school in Georgia, and Georgia has a lot of funding for, specifically for autism. Now, one program that we are working on, and we're not dead set on the name yet, we think it's going to be How Do I Teach This Child? We're working on a package for special ed teachers and for your regular inclusion teachers that's just sort of a short 10-step, what's the best way to serve an autistic child in your classroom? And we're pretty excited about getting that into all the schools, too.
And again, all of this information is on your website, and I want to make sure everyone knows that www.mybrotherskeeper.biz. There's a lot of information there, a lot of information about Donna, a lot of information about the work that Donna is doing, a lot of information about some of the things that she has discovered, that other people have discovered, the articles that are written. There are fabulous pictures there, especially the one of, you know, Donna with Tony. That's very nice, Donna and Tony Robbins. But again, there is lots of information. The articles are phenomenal. I have to tell you, I was touched and pretty much close to tears, if not having some tears in my eyes, on one of the articles that are here, because I just can't even imagine it for myself. But the article that was here was called Breaking the Silence, 7 Things a Child with Autism Wishes He Could Tell You. Because we don't really flip it around and look at the child. You know what I'm saying, Donna? We don't really look at the child and say, oh, my goodness, what would they love to say to us?
Right, right. And one thing, and I'm bad to do this myself, is a lot of times I will be discussing Justin like he's a clinical subject, but he'll be sitting right beside me.
Mm.
And I said something the other day about something about the way he went into the classroom and that he was a little bit unorganized. And he looked at me and said, don't say that. And, you know, I don't know if he understood what not organized meant or not, but he understood that I was talking about him and he wanted me to stop. So, you know, I think that the kids themselves do deserve a little more consideration and a little more, you know, not what funding do you have and not what classroom should you be in, but more like what would make you adapt, what would help you, what can we do for you.
You know, Donna, all of this is such a powerful message. I am so honored to be working with you on this. It is such an important way for us to really open our hearts. When I got to one of the items in the article I'm referring to, and I don't remember the exact number, but let me just make sure I get it out here. It was something like, pay attention to what I can do and not what you think I can't do. You know what I'm saying? I don't need to be fixed. Boy, if we just took that one point and spread that out in the world for everyone, we would be a group of human beings that is so empowering. And so what it said at the end, there are a lot of ways to do things. How honoring is this, Donna?
It is, and I think a lot of times if we all stepped back and went by that philosophy, maybe once again we would become human beings instead of human doings.
Yes. Donna, let me ask you, as this hour just, I don't know where the hour went, it just absolutely flew. What can we do to both help the people out in the communities, people that are listening to the show, but what can we do as far as making folks more aware of what was known as alternative is now integrative solutions in medicine, especially in the face of some of these alternative approaches being under criticism, under fire, and may become under consequence of law? What can we do here?
I think that the best thing to do is document everything, get proven results, talk to your people that own your herb shops in town, your chiropractors, your holistic healers, and I think documentation of the fact that they are doing a great job is very, very important, because you're exactly right. Chelation is a huge treatment within the autism community, but, you know, it comes under fire every day, and I know a lot of children that it has helped, but it's still very taboo, very under the radar, you know. So, yes, I think that great documentation and just spreading the word around that these things can help.
And, Donna, this has been such a powerful conversation. And I noticed on your website there is lots of information. And certainly, I hope all of you listening to this show today has learned something that you didn't know before and is willing to pass this information on, is willing to support our children and as our children grow older, support them in a way that does understand what autism is and what autism isn't. One last question, Donna. The autism bracelet, could you share a little bit about what that is and what does it mean for us to wear that?
The autism bracelet, the one that we carry, is Swarovski crystals with sterling silver puzzle charms. We also have a purse charm, and it's all the different color of the puzzle pieces that represent autism. And with the bracelets and with the purse charms, a lot of the teachers and the parents buy them just to represent and just to say they have the autism ribbon on them and the puzzle piece, just to say that these are our children, and we are proud of them. We do sell a lot of them, and each one, the proceeds are donated to Cure Autism Now, which is doing a lot of Walk Now, Walk Across America. Matter of fact, the one in Atlanta is Saturday. And so it's a neat thing, and it's a neat gift for the mom of an autistic child, because it just kind of says, here's something beautiful for you because you're very beautiful to this child. So we think they're pretty special. And one thing that I wanted to add, too, if anybody has any questions for me, or if you have any suggestions, if there's something you've tried with an autistic child that has worked, please email me at DonnaRichards@BellSouth.net, because I would love to hear it.
Okay, DonnaRichards@BellSouth.net. Well, Donna, we're going to keep having this conversation. We have many more shows to do on the other networks that the Dr. Pat Show is on. And I want to say something, Donna. You are very special, and I want to thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well, thank you, and our goal is just creating the cure to autism one child at a time.
And we're thrilled to be helping you with that. Thank you so much for joining us today. Many blessings to you and your family. I want to thank our listeners today for supporting the show, for supporting Donna Richards, and to know that in the wisdom that we shared before, boy, if we could all focus on what we can do without limitations, this will certainly be a better world. I want to thank everyone for listening to the show. I want to thank everyone here at PBSRadio.com for pushing all the right buttons and for bringing Donna Richards to the many of you that will listen to this show many, many times. Thank you, Donna, so much.
Thanks, Dr. Pat. I look forward to seeing you again.
I can't wait. And someday we're going to get Jace on the line with us and have a great time.
We will.
All right, everyone. Until next week, remember, you are truly blessed, and this is a magnificent life. You can have what you desire, and this is a time of action and a time to go to that place of gratitude and love. Until next week, make yourselves a fabulous week.